I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
No, other than the fact that I think this game is going to not be as close as people think. I've thought that all along. I just think Aaron Rodgers, given what he's doing right now, how they believe in him and how he believes in them, you know, there's something to be said for that.
You think a blowout win, Bob?
I didn't say blowout, but I said I don't think it's going to. Like, I'm at this point, I'm thinking about scores because everybody asks about scores. I'm probably leaning towards something like Steelers 21-13, something like that, that kind of game. And I think there will be a defensive touchdown in that game. But as far as Aaron Rodgers, I just think that it's so important to have your best player, who's your quarterback, believe that he can get the job done and instill that on other players. I do believe that. And I think Stroud, while he's emerging as that guy, still doesn't have that same kind of cachet. So I think Rodgers, you know, discounting the Cleveland game, has been really good over the last how many games. He hasn't thrown an interception since November the 9th. He protects the football. He doesn't make those kinds of mistakes that can turn everything around. So that's why I like that.
Real good stuff there from Bob Pompiani, and a strong take from Pomp. But now I'm worried. You hear it from Pomp at the very end of that clip. Aaron Rodgers has been brilliant, except for that game against Cleveland. Well, that's the best defense they've played in a month. And I'm not saying that Rodgers is going to go out there and play a stinker against Houston, but now I think we have gone from, man, the Steelers don't have any chance to win a playoff game, to now the vast majority of local talking heads think the Steelers are going to win this game, including the most trusted one, Pompiani, who thinks they're going to win, and it's going to be fairly convincing. And it's got me squeamish. I feel like at this point now, we are overrating the Steelers and underrating considerably the Houston Texans. I think we are underrating the Texans, in fact, just collectively, more than we are overrating the Steelers. And I want to get into it with the great Patty Bostic. Happy New Year, Patty!
Happy New Year, buddy.
Patty, when
Happy
we were...
Happy playoff week.
Well, you texted me on Sunday night, and you just said, Aaron Rodgers.
Right,
and I
baby.
Responded with, Rogue Rodgers. And then I realized I never got back to you on your text.
And then you sent me another one last night with an elongated Rogue Rodgers.
Rodgers.
He was spectacular on Sunday.
He sure was, and he may well be that against Houston, but let me tell you something you already know, my friend.
It's a damn good defense.
Holy cheese and crackers. I was just looking, my brother-in-law, who's spurning me for this playoff game on Monday, we were supposed to go together, he sent me a graph from Cody Alexander, who does all kind of analytics stuff and covers the NFL, that Houston varies their defense, and I'm sure that you as a tape watcher know this, less than any team in the league. Like, they're just going to run what they run, and they're so good that that's what they're going to do. Houston is fourth in rushing yards allowed, sixth in passing yards allowed, first in first downs allowed, third in turnovers forced, first in yards, and second in points. They've also won 9 in a row. I think that folks are now underrating locally these Houston Texans.
I do agree. I was looking through their nine-game winning streak, and you know, outside of Jacksonville and Buffalo, which were early in that streak, Indy, Kansas City, Arizona, Vegas, and then the Chargers, obviously, would be, that's a good win on the road. It wasn't the strongest in terms of difficulty of schedule, but it's hard not to be impressed by this defense. Oh. I'm not a C.J. Stroud believer, which and I never have been, but I think that this game is going to be all about who's most efficient on early downs, because I think both teams are playing really good defense right now, the Steelers certainly included. But I have more confidence in Rodgers than I do Stroud in terms of, I mean, that guy hasn't thrown a pick in 2 months, 7 weeks. He's been awesome in most of the games they've played.
Can I tack on just real quickly? You say he hasn't thrown a pick since November 9th. That is a fact. Pat, there's one ball in that entire stretch that I think he's even put in harm's way, and it was against Miami when Freiermuth was getting held, and he threw it because he figured they were going to get a flag for a PI.
Which they didn't.
Which they didn't and should have. That, Pat, he hasn't put a ball within a centimeter of being in harm's way since November 9th. I don't think that's hyperbole. It's been 2 months since he's come close to throwing a pick, unless one is like totally escaping me.
No, it has been pretty surgical in terms of his risk avoidance. But he's also made a lot of tight window throws. I mean, the throw to Thielen up the seam, the one-on-one balls to Metcalf.
Thielen.
That's a dime. Woo! I mean, the throws to Thielen and Miller for first downs against Detroit, in-breaking routes. My God, in-breaking routes.
Did you see the passing chart against Baltimore?
It was perfect.
Oh.
That's going to be the key against Houston is, as simple as, relatively speaking, as they are defensively, that allows them to really morph into what you're doing. You really have to be multiple against them. And, you know, when you think back to the Cleveland game, I think of their inability to effectively rush the ball consistently. I think of having to use, especially with Washington getting hurt, what have been probably without Metcalf, your two best pass catchers over the past 3 weeks, Freiermuth and Gainwell, in chip protection.
Yep.
And I know Mike Tomlin said that's something they always do. I agree, but when you're in third and 8 or 9, you're not going to bring Connor Hayward in an extra tight end to chip so you can get Gainwell out. You have to get five guys out into the route. You have to try to, but two of them are delayed. And Freiermuth's one of your best middle-of-the-field players. So they've got to stay in manageable D&Ds because, I mean, those two edges are, you know, Hunter and Anderson are as formidable a duo as there is in the league.
Will Anderson is a freak of nature.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'4", 243. You know, he's, what, a third-year player, second-year player? Third year. He's a freak, and Hunter's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think people really understand that. Hunter came into the league at 21.
His 10th year in the league.
He's 31. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He had 114 sacks. He's got, I would think, at least 5 years. Doesn't look like he's slowing down to me. You know, the vast majority of his seasons, double-digit sack seasons. These guys are formidable, and you talk about D&D, and it makes me miss Doran Dickerson, our very own double D.
Yeah.
I miss him. I miss him dearly. It's not just down a distance, so that is huge. You can't fall behind. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. And the Steelers have been outscored 76-0 in the first quarter of their last six playoff games, which is, every time I say it, every time I read it, staggering to me. And even though they beat the Ravens, they fell behind 10-0 in that game, and they fell behind 10-0 to Cleveland. If you fall behind 10-0 against this defense and they can pin their ears back, I think you're done. 14-0 for sure finished. You cannot have the slow starts that have plagued the Steelers in the playoffs in recent seasons, or else you are pushing Mount Everest up Mount Everest.
You are. And Houston has, I mean, Houston doesn't score a lot of points. They can pop off here and there. But they don't rush the ball incredibly well.
No.
They're rather one-dimensional when they're explosive. That being said, you're right. I mean, this screams of a 20-17 game.
I was going to ask you next.
Special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they got some of the bugaboo out last week with the apparently blocked extra point, or at least grazed.
Are you ready for this?
What am I? I'm not.
So Pompeiani said yesterday, and I trust Pompeiani more than I trust my wife, that people he talked to within the Steelers do not think that that was blocked. They were shocked that the NFL ruled that. So for what that's worth,
it's hard.
The only one who really knows is 39 for Baltimore.
Yeah, no, it proved to be certainly inconsequential, but that would have been the height of irony if your most consistent player over the past 5 seasons was the reason that you didn't go to overtime and lost to the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh would still have a job. Who knows what we'd be talking about today? I do know what we'd be talking about today is
fire Tomlin,
whether or not there would be a change made. But yeah, I mean, this is about as good a matchup with two teams that are have been a little Jekyll and Hyde, not of late for Houston, but over the course of Stroud's career, they've been like world beaters and then just not good.
Famous last words, I'm not scared of their offense at all.
I don't think it's going to be – I don't see the Steelers winning by double digits against this team. I mean, they're three-point dogs at home. I think that probably the folks in Vegas are looking at the Cleveland game saying this screams of that type of game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I as a quarterback, watcher, observer, appreciator – I have a lot more confidence in Rodgers, as I said earlier, than I do Stroud, to do two things. One, to make the right play and the aggressive play when the time's right. And having DK back is massive. I don't even want to know what the spread would be if DK wasn't back. Probably seven. It's probably a 4-point, 3.5-point difference having him back, just for what it does to their defense. Imagine playing this defense with
without
DK Metcalf.
No, I don't want to.
But I also have more confidence he's going to manage the game. Like, he'll take a 6-yard sack and put you at a field goal range, but he's not going to take a 15-yard sack fumble. Like, he's on another level right now. And I don't know how much you listened to his post-game press conference. I watched it 4 times because he started to get into vertical peaks. He started to get into, you know, a shake on a seam route against two man. On
something that they talked about in training camp, Latrobe.
I mean the helmet miscommunication, the wristband, the second helmet not working, not being able to call plays because of the personnel grouping they were in. I mean, it was a masterclass, and I'm a big believer in mojo. And I just think the Steelers have a lot of mojo right now with him.
Mojo, baby.
They got a lot of mojo and like a lot of vibe and like all he's bringing all that seance type of calm to this team. Even amidst the adversity of the season. Like, the guy's been unbelievable with the press, with his teammates. Yeah, he flips out on the sideline, flips out in the huddle.
Good.
That's the way it should be. But man, they're riding old man Winter into the playoffs, and I freaking them all for it.
I'm all for it too. I'd bring him back next year.
Absolutely.
We'll get into a quarterback that could be a Pittsburgh Steeler next year a little bit later on in the show. Are we undervaluing? I don't think we are, but collectively, Pittsburgh, are we all undervaluing Houston? I want your calls, texts, and tweets on that at 412-928-9370. The hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. There's some reasons for optimism in this game, some of which we touched on, reasons for pessimism. We'll list them all out for you in the hour ahead.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They're a top-notch group. They need no endorsement from me. They're winners of 9 straight. And when you win 9 straight games, there's usually a mode of operation, and it certainly is. They're a group that takes very good care of the football as a collective. I think they have 10 turnovers on the season. That's number one in football. I think they're number three with 27 takeaways on defense. And so you talk about complementary football. They got an offense that's the best in the world at securing it. They got a defense that's third best at taking it away. And I think that's the building blocks of 9 consecutive wins.
They have taken the ball away 16 times in their 9-game winning streak. That has been a massive catalyst. And as we were discussing in the previous segment, Pat Bostic, who's joining us now, I just don't think Rodgers is going to turn the ball over.
I mean,
he hasn't. Historically, he hasn't.
Look at this thing. You talk about like nut cutting time, what this game comes down to. And I've been all about, this is where I struggle, Adam, to go into the depths of my soul. I struggle with the Pat Bostic on the Fan Morning Show 5 weeks ago saying, cut it loose, screw it, chuck it around, and now you're in the dance, the postseason, and it's we're talking turnover differential and first and second down efficiency. I still think you can be aggressive and manage the situation. I trust the quarterback to protect the play call. That is something they have not had in a long time, including Kenny, including Russ, including certainly Justin Fields. Steelers, plus 12 in turnover takeaway. Texans, plus 17. Texans, 29 takeaways. Steelers, 27. Texans, 12 giveaways. Steelers, 15. I mean, now, of those 12 giveaways for Houston, 8 of them are C.J. Stroud interceptions.
Right.
And the Steelers are trotting out a 42-year-old vet that hasn't thrown a pick since November 9th.
232 consecutive passes without an interception.
Which sounds like we're jinxing a perfect game. But, man, I just 90% of the calculus in feeling confident about that is the decision-making. That's the difference. I mean, he's throwing the ball away at guys' feet if it's not open. And that's why I think Arthur Smith and this offense has evolved, save for one game, because there's just such a high level of trust that he's going to be able to protect the play.
Punts are fine in this one, man.
They're fine. I mean, provided they're good punts.
Yeah. How about the re-kick from Corliss Waitman?
Excellent. I mean,
I thought that had disaster written all over it.
I know. It was excellent. He rose to the occasion.
He did.
But, you know, this is I'm going to amend what I said earlier. This game will come down to first and second down efficiency, protecting the ball, and who can do that while being aggressive. Not who can do that and go 3 yards in a cloud of dust and maybe go for it once on fourth down. It's who can maintain aggression, but the quarterback makes the right decision, gets them in the right play, out of the wrong play to prevent the negative play.
And I think you'd have to trust Rodgers to do that more than
1,000%,
Stroud. 1,000%.
1 million percent.
Vibe check. Who wins on Monday? That's a Twitter poll I put out there, brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. This on the heels of Palm saying that the Steelers will win and it won't be as close as the experts think. 76% of Steelers fans voting to this point think the Steelers are going to win. I am shocked. But we've already hit on the big one, the big reason for optimism, the quarterback disparity here. There are a lot of other reasons for optimism, and there are a lot of reasons if you want to be pessimistic. And I have listed them all out on this sheet of paper, Pat, and I want to go through them with you coming up next. But I'd be a liar if we didn't get to Tim in Wexford, because I said we'd take calls on this. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Crowley. Hey, man.
Timmy!
Hey, listen, Houston is a powerhouse.
Who's a powerhouse?
Okay? I'm not a Houston Texans fan.
Oh, I see. Yep.
But Houston is a powerhouse. And they're a picture of consistency, winning 9 straight, and they're hungry. And they're going to come in here trying to hit people, okay, and knock people off their games. I'm worried about the Steelers' back end. I remember when Ramsey and company were knocking people for a loop and everything else, but where has that been?
I think overall, the last month plus, and thank you for the call, Tim, that the Steelers' defense has been way more good than bad. I mean, what they did to the running game against Detroit. Cleveland, I mean, after they got to 10, they weren't scoring again. They could have played that game for another year and a half. The Browns ain't scoring again.
No.
The Ravens, down in and down out. It's one thing Tomlin said on Tuesday I actually agree with. I thought they played mostly good defense, and they, apart from one run, really shut Henry down or made it hard on him. They had busts. You can't have busts
there's
in this
been,
game.
I was just thinking that. There's been, think of the busts that have happened with, you know, whether it's Isaiah Bond or whoever caught a deep ball for Cleveland. Like, it's been one, maybe three plays a game in this stretch of, you know, making the playoffs and then obviously securing a home playoff game that have given the opposition what looked like a decent offensive performance. Where if not for those plays, the Steelers would have been suffocating on defense.
And if you don't give up the busts in this one, Houston's going to have a hard time moving the ball.
And then they're going to get in a position where they have to throw it.
Yes.
And then you have opportunities to take it away.
And their line in pass protection, this just in, not good. And the Steelers, they've actually improved greatly in that regard. Perhaps that's on my list for reasons of optimism, Pat, which I will run by you. Coming up next, then we can do a list for pessimism. There's a whole bunch of great stuff we're going to get to over the course of today's program. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Rodgers protected.
Throws to Austin for the touchdown!
Ah, Aaron Rodgers. Can we just on the count of three throw Rogue Rodgers out yep. there? You, me, and Harry. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Rogue Rodgers.
Let's go. If you're looking for reasons for optimism, how can that not be number one?
Man,
that's got to be number one.
Him coming off the field back and forth with the helmet thing. Equal parts hilarious, but also like just he just burns a timeout. He's like,
I'm Aaron
Rodgers.
Walks
over there.
If I want to take a timeout, I'm taking a damn timeout.
You know, rips into Artie Smith, rips into the equipment guy. Rudolph's throwing the wristband at him. He's chucking it back at his face. And then after the game, he's like, Derek, the equipment guy, he's the absolute best in the world.
So
Calvin's the sweetest kid. You know, this guy is everything.
You have, I'm sure, played with guys, and maybe you were like this. Who on the field, you're different people than off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked with so many hosts, like back in my producing days at the old place, and I'm not going to name any names, Tim Benz, who I love Tim to death. In his early days, at least my experience with him, he was as intense could be. And I was petrified of the guy. And then we'd hang out and be like, this dude's the coolest guy ever.
Right.
He's super loyal and meant so much to me as a friend and as a mentor. Aaron Rodgers is an animal between the white lines. An animal. Then I find him to be, like you mentioned earlier, refreshing in the post game and whenever he meets with the media. I do want to insert this in here because I was gonna play this later in the show, but since you brought up the headsets, here's Ben Roethlisberger on his podcast saying that he's experienced this before, just not at home.
We always wore a wristband, was in situations like this.
Yeah.
Charlie's already, I'm wristband 32,
yeah.
wristband 105, wristband 200, yeah. you know, and now I'm just like, okay, I'm reading this thing for that exact reason. Because every time you went to New England, the headsets went down. Coincidence?
That's crazy.
Crazy.
So
yeah, I saw that.
I know for a fact, this isn't just Ben being Ben. So back when I worked at the old place, I used to do Steelers pregame, but I'd always do it from the studio. But Dale Lawley would be out on site. And he was at Gillette Stadium prior to the AFC Championship game where the Steelers got their ass beat. And in the middle of our pregame show, the Patriots pregame show got piped into his ears.
Yeah. Well, Billy would talk about that all the time, too.
Yeah.
They always had gremlins up there.
Yes.
You know, they always had the radio audio gremlins.
It's why if there's a team I'm rooting for least in this postseason, the Patriots are not allowed to experience success this quick. They're not allowed, won't allow it. If they go to the Super Bowl, I'm not watching the Super Bowl.
No, they don't deserve it.
F them.
They don't deserve it, although I really like Mike Vrabel. Wristbands, that's an interesting topic. It gives, I think, the fan a glimpse, and I thought Rodgers did a great job with it, a glimpse into the contingency plans that exist. Like the preparation that goes in. I mean, it's easy to say fire the coach, fire the staff. Why is the helmet not working? Gave the dude two helmets. Rudolph threw him a wristband. You know, Rodgers didn't think he needed the wristband, didn't want to wear it. I used to wear a wristband in college, and he talked about it a little bit. I wore it in high school, too. Talked about, but I used to have to run to the sideline. Or we had like a clock system that would be like, you know, your chin, you know, one. Two was your chin. three was like, you know, your
Gandalf
your,
beard.
Your neck. And then four, and you went around the clock, and that was the way you signaled. But then teams would watch that and try to get a beat. Oh, they're calling this one again. you know, and so forth. But the coach to quarterback communication system has taken that away to some degree.
Well, how about Whipple?
Oh yeah, but that but
KP would run to the sideline before every
fear,
play.
The fear was those signal stealing and so forth. Now, if you're starting to steal people's audio or cut out audio, that's a different story.
Right.
But I never liked the wristband from a simple perspective of you couldn't look guys in the eye in the huddle. You couldn't stare into them. You couldn't visualize the play as well, in my opinion. Like, if you know the play, it would be like having to read your lines on set.
Mm.
You know, you need a teleprompter.
Now you're talking to me.
Now you have a teleprompter. I'm just saying in
now
general.
You're speaking my language. Thespian over here.
Thespian, yes, exactly. Like, you need a teleprompter. You're not really talking to somebody. And that's why I think if you asked Rodgers, why don't you like the wristband? Hey, I had like 3 flaps on my wristband. That thing was flying everywhere. I hated it. Couldn't keep it down. It had the Velcro. Couldn't keep it down. And then it would slide up and down. I hated that. But I like to be able to look guys in the eye in the huddle.
Yeah.
You know, and get a feel for them. I mean, the take, I could talk about his press conference all day about asking Calvin Austin what he wants to run on the backside and him not giving him an answer and then tell him to run a hitch and go and it's the game-winning touchdown.
Did you hear on the TV copy someone the play before said double move? Play before.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the Ravens saying look out for the double move or what. Because the NBC mics were picking up pretty much everything Rodgers was saying and everything that was happening on the line of scrimmage. We got technology, baby. And yeah. I love hearing the cadence and stuff like that, too. Somebody the play before said something about double move and then bam.
Well, someone in the huddle said let him cook, apparently. Right? Which is like the new thing to say.
Yes.
You know, cooked him. Man, I just, that whole sequence, the plays he's making, I just keep going back to like a vibe. Now, I don't know how long they'll be able to ride the horse here, but that gives me confidence in this game Monday night is him. And the fact that they go down 10-0 and you know, I mean, I know it wasn't a playoff game, but that's as close to a playoff game as you can get in the regular season. And you know that place is ready to erupt with negativity if they go down another point in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a bit of a sign of Cleveland hangover, right? And them looking like anemic. To flip it and go win the game twice? They haven't had that in their arsenal since Ben played.
Rodgers should have entered the press conference.
They don't win that game without Aaron Rodgers, and it's not – I will sit here and you can't argue the fact. They do not win that game without Aaron Rodgers.
They do not. They don't make the playoffs without Rodgers. I mean, because you boil it down to that fourth quarter, we had a 130.1 passer rating, 135 on third and fourth downs, by the way, not just in the fourth quarter, but in the game proper. But how many games he won this year? When he didn't play well, they lost this year. I mean, that go through the games. So he's the biggest reason for optimism. Let me go through my list real quick because I did tease it. And I
like it. I want to hear it.
I don't want to blow off my tease.
See how full of it you are.
Reasons for optimism.
Okay.
Harry, pay attention now.
Class is in session.
This is all, I'm sure, going to be avant-garde and cutting edge. Steelers are healthy.
Very true. I agree.
Rodgers. The offensive line.
I was just going to say, throughout this stretch, that group has gotten better. You know who's gotten maybe the most better?
No. Tell me.
That I wasn't like, man, I don't know. Zach Frazier.
Oh, did you see what he did to Patrick Queen?
I mean, you mean Roquan Smith?
That's what I meant. He would have done it to Queen, too.
He did it to Queen in practice back at Latrobe.
That's right.
Latrobe, excuse me.
What am I learning here?
Reasons to be optimistic about the Steelers.
Keep going. That offensive line's improving.
Fourth in pass protection, according to PFF. Now, PFF, I hate, but I will use it when it helps me.
It's a good tool.
DK Metcalf coming back.
Yep.
Who averages 113 yards in the postseason and has 5 touchdowns in 4 games. Think that's kind of a big deal. I think the front seven's playing great. Highsmith, Watts back, another game healthier. Hayward may have played the game of his life, certainly of the season. Benton looks like the guy we all hoped he could be. Harmon's the real deal. Y.A. Black looked good. Logan Lee made a play.
You made that tackle. I'm like, who the heck is that guy?
Big play. Now I got some statistics for you
that
might make you feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Dome teams, 1-14 on the road in the playoffs the last 10 years in sub-40 degree temperatures. How about that one?
You got that one from Ray Petlin.
I stole it from Ray Petlin, that's right. But no one else locally has latched onto this one.
That's a really good one.
So TM, although Doug said, what about teams with a retractable roof? Shut up, Doug. Steelers.
Still a roof.
23 straight home Monday Night Football wins. Everyone knows that. Tomlin 12-0 at home on Monday Night Football. Everyone knows that. Tomlin 22-3 on Monday Night Football. Here's what people may or may not know. Super Bowl winning quarterbacks as underdogs in the playoffs. 61-24-2 against the spread. Here's another one. And he's the only Super Bowl winning quarterback that's an underdog this week. The Texans, yes, they have won 9 straight. The Jags, just to throw them in there, have won 8 straight. Of the last 13 teams to enter the playoffs on a winning streak of 8-plus games, they've won 0 Super Bowls. Now, you could win this game and not win the Super Bowl, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, that one, you left me wanting more there.
Well, I mean, everything else should make up for you wanting more.
No, the 1-14 one about dome teams, I don't care if it's retractable or not.
That's a good one. That's a damn good one. I have reasons for pessimism, too, coming up next, but we'll talk about the optimism when we come back.
I like to be optimistic.
Let's see if there's anything you may want to add to the list.
I have a lot to add.
Wow! If you have a suggestion for how we should go about quizzing Callis today, shoot us a text at 412-928-9370.
Did you not think it through?
No, I didn't. And Doran usually handles that part. And Bostic and I were going back and forth. And the thing he suggested, I already forgot.
But it did your job. That's good.
Thank you. Also, you asked me to come to the microphone to record something for your little rap video you're doing, weekly wrap-up for the end of the week, and then you didn't tell me what you needed.
You called it a rap video.
Yeah, whatever. It is. I mean, we are on YouTube and on X. I'm worldwide on the Odyssey app, although that's not video.
Can I play it real quick?
Yeah, you can. And do what? You didn't tell me what to do. You said,
hold
go
on,
to your
just
microphone.
Pause it real quick. I'll give context. Harry's like, I need something from you, Crowley. Oh, okay. He said, go to the microphone. Entertain me. What the hell does that mean?
All right. And do what? You didn't tell me what to do. You said go to your microphone. You said I need something from you. Go to the microphone. Do what? What do you want from me?
Good times.
Oh, you're not playing the rest of it? The rest of it's the entertaining part.
Oh, the Rogue Rogers stuff?
Yeah. Rogue Rogers. Rogue Rogers. Rogue Rogers. Rogue Rogers. Rogue Rogers. Rogue Rogers. That's how I always say it.
That's Rogue a really Rogers. Good bit.
Rogue that's... Rogers. Number one reason for optimism right there.
Say that probably, 10 times fast.
I'm probably only going to use one of those two. So
yeah, I know.
Man.
Rogue Rogers. Rogue Rogers.
It's like your voice cracked.
And then he's like, do it less gravelly. That's how I sound.
When you rip a few darts a day back in college, this is what you sound like.
Exactly right.
Darts?
Sigs.
Sigs.
So we listed the reasons for optimism, and you said you wanted to add to them.
Yep.
But we've run out of time, so we will get into that coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
Yes, time. What do you mean?
Before we do that, I'll just throw out the reasons for pessimism.
Let's do it.
And you can just shoot these down if you don't think we should be pessimistic about them. I'm worried about Boz.
I'm not. No.
He missed three consecutive field goal in three consecutive games. It scares me.
The last one was blocked.
Maybe.
He drilled a 54-yarder right down a pipe.
57-yarder.
57, whatever it is. It's
but
55.
He missed a 37-yarder against the Lions.
That was like that was ages ago.
It wasn't.
Hey, fresh start, new playoff, new season, he's fine. He's fine. Best kicker in the league.
If the Steelers are lining up for a 50-yard field goal to win the game, I would sign up for that in blood right now.
I feel great.
I would sign up for it in blood, but do I think it's automatic the way I would have prior to the last three games? No, I don't.
I look at it this way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods hits it all over the lot against Torrey Pines in 2008. When he needs to make a birdie to force a playoff, he does. He makes a birdie. I'm telling you right now, this guy has clutch in his jeans. He makes it. He'll be perfect against Houston.
We got Bill Hillgrove on the line.
Let's talk to him about New England.
We are going to talk to him about New England. Why did you not answer the phone, Harry?
He's on the video call.
Punch him in.
You know what's ironic, Callis? You just told Crowley he wasn't doing his job.
You should have remembered that. He didn't schedule.
Hi, partner. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, we are great. Bill, I know we talk
a lot of pit whenever you come on, but we were talking earlier about Ben Roethlisberger's comments about going to New England and there always being audio issues. And I remember, Bill, back when I worked at the old place, and I would work with you sometimes as the booth producer, there were always audio issues in the booth in New England, weren't there?
Yeah, and the most recallable one was the time that our coaches got their broadcast in their headsets. And so they're listening to whoever the play-by-play guy was and the color man.
You had Scott Solak, you know, right?
That doesn't work.
No.
That doesn't work. You hope it's not by design, but even if it isn't, it should be fixed. I mean, the NFL is the NFL. They have resources. That I'll just let it go at that.
Bill, back to the pit talk. Pitt Syracuse Saturday, obviously you've called a bunch of those games. Pitt teams seems to be trending in a better direction. They're playing better basketball. What do they need to do to finish?
Well, you know, they're figuring out their roles, and I'm not trying to give them something they don't deserve, but I think because of the shortage of people up front, Cam Corhan is asked to do too much. He's not even a natural five. And there he is, you know, playing lights out. And you tip your hat to him. But, you know, behind him, especially with, you know, Papa out and DeSean Jackson was never available, you know, they're kind of a team that gets tired down the stretch because they're doing too much and doing strange things that their positions aren't accustomed to. So, I think you have to live with it. They have to adjust to it. And you're right. I think the arrow is pointing up.
Do you, Bill, pay attention to the transfer portal stuff, or do you just wait until the spring and August to just get the roster and then work from there? Because it's nuts across college football.
Can I turn biblical on you?
Please.
Job 1:21, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I mean, there's not much we can do about it, but, you know, in the case of, let's, for instance, say Trey Butkowski, the kicker. Yeah, that's a gut punch, but, you know, he's from Lake Nona, Florida, and he's probably going to go to a warmer climate, and I don't blame a kicker for doing that.
Right.
So, hey, it's an open spot for a really good kicker to come in here, so it's something that you just have to roll with the punches. I'm sure the coaches feel the same way.
Speaking of Job.
How about me being biblical?
I was just going to say.
He uses by Job a lot.
I know.
With the patience of Job.
So that's what I was about to say. One of my favorite, and there's so many, it would be unfair to just whittle it down to one, but one of my favorite Bill Hillgrove calls was when Le'Veon Bell got that direct snap against the Chargers. And you said, with the patience of Job, and he plowed into the end zone. It's an all-timer,
Bill. All-timer.
Yeah, I guess. You know, and I kind of miss watching him play, but, you know, I think he went off the rails at some point, and, you know, I wish him the best, but, you know, and we've seen so many examples of it.
He transferred,
guys
too.
Guys going off the rails.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, well, it happens in our business too, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does. Bill, you are the man. Sorry for getting you on late there, but we appreciate you jumping on as always.
I don't know what biblical verse applies, but better late than never.
That's right.
That's right, Pard. Good to see you, my man. See you Saturday.
Take care, guys.
Be good, Bill. That is the great Billy Hilly, Bill Hillgrove, a Hall of Famer.
By Job.
By Job.
He did get in by Job.
So I was just talking to my wife about this the other day.
Job?
No, but it's in the realm. So my daughter, we're reading her Harry Potter at night for the first time.
I thought you were reading her Harry Callis.
No.
That's a better book.
No, we keep her away from Harry and his van and things of that nature. So when I was growing up, before the movies came out, I'm reading the books, I thought Hermione's name was Hermione. And I guarantee you that if I was reading the Bible in my youth, I would have thought it was Gob.
Show the patience of Gob.
It's the patience of Gob! Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 51. Tomorrow, high is 60, but a 70% chance of rain. We promised reasons for pessimism, and we'll lay it out.
I have more reasons for optimism, too.
Well, we're going to play the game when we come back. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. It is the Fan Morning Show.